If you've been listening to The Takeaway this week, you know I've been broadcasting all week from the studios of KUOW in Seattle, and I had the opportunity to sit down on Wednesday with the passionate, energetic Mike McGinn, who's the mayor of Seattle. We began our conversation by noting some of the revolutions that have taken place in this Puget Sound region since I was a reporter here in Seattle, back during the Jurassic Age, you might say, before Amazon, before Microsoft.
I have a personal connection to Seattle, and I have to say it's extraordinary to have observed the changes that have taken place in this city. When I left the Seattle area in the early 1980s, the biggest computer company in Seattle, guess what the name of it was?
Tell me.
Boeing Computer Services.
Well,
down in Renton, you know, a suburb of Seattle. Things have changed so much. You have an economy that is tech-based, timber and fishing, energy, aircraft.
Maritime, tourism as well. And I think a burgeoning arts and cultural scene too, which is part of that mix.
Is that something you manage or is it something you inherit as a mayor because Seattle is such an extraordinary place to begin with?
Seattle is an extraordinary place to begin with, and one of the jobs as mayor when you come in is, you know, and this is one of the things, we launched a jobs plan, and that was, we oftentimes look at our deficits in a city, what's not going well that needs to be fixed, and we also made a really conscious effort in our jobs plan to look at our assets, because if those are the things that if we can get those spinning faster, we can get more work out of them. So you try to steward and improve what you have and build on it.
Is there a consensus to do that? Or when you try to make investments in the community, do you run into, I live in New York now. It's sometimes very, very difficult to make coherent public policy because there are so many different constituencies that are defined to be against each other in some ways.
Well, no, we are a changing city. Cities are dynamic places too. So change are inherent in them. And while we seem to have some consensus around some of the major problems we face and around some of our strengths, we don't necessarily have consensus around the right types of actions to take. So, we view jobs, education, transit, and transportation regularly rise to the top, as has public safety as an issue. But what's the right approach to each one of them, and how do we work on those? I'd also say Seattle is an interesting. It's a great place. I love this place. I love my job. But there's a couple of competing narratives of what Seattle is. And one narrative comes out of the tech, what you were just talking about. And it's, you know, we got Amazon expanding. We have Facebook and Google have opened up offices here to try to tap into our smart people. Microsoft is obviously big. We have telecommunications companies. We have this arts and cultural burgeoning scene that we were talking about. And it's all very new and exciting and new economy. At the same time, this city is a port city, and we got containers moving through. We build boats here. The Alaska Fishing Fleet heads up north. You know, Deadliest Catch, those guys come from our neighborhoods here in Seattle, and they head up that inside passage to, you know, one of the most dangerous, roughest jobs there are. So we have this competing narrative of kind of this blue-collar, lunch bucket kind of town where we make things and we build things. And then we have this new economy narrative, and they collide. And I think there's actually a lot of overlap, because the thing about old economy, it's not really old. You know, for them to compete, they have to keep adjusting and innovating and doing new things. You just have to in a competitive economy. And there's probably a lot more crossover than you might think when you actually meet the people who are working at these places. But that narrative really drives a lot of the discussion in Seattle.
In a place like Seattle that's had so many abrupt and revolutionary changes, both in the economy, demographics to a certain extent, I'm wondering if you're vulnerable to the kinds of problems that you've seen in law enforcement where, you know, there's a sense of mistrust of either law enforcement looking at a particular community, in this particular case, the accusation of racial profiling in the Seattle PD, or is it a lack of trust on the part of particular groups in the city of Seattle who believe that the police don't have their public safety and public well-being uppermost in their mind? How do you manage that?
So I think the challenge we face in this city is like that of many cities, in which members of communities of color, you know, our diverse population, feel like they are not treated the same by the police as others. And if you look at things like arrest records, incarceration rates, and the like, you know, there's the data is out there to see. And so our challenge, ultimately, police are an expression of community values. I mean, if you really think about what police are and what they represent, is what's permitted and what's not permitted in the public realm and or private realm, right? How do we say what are our standards? And the police are ultimately reflecting that standard out in the world. And when you have community mistrust of the police, that's extraordinarily challenging. And I don't want to suggest that this mistrust is you know, uniform or widespread. There are many people who are on the other side of the coin saying, you know, give the police the freedom and the tools to do their job, and it's a rough world out there, and sometimes they have to be rough. So my job as mayor is to listen to everybody and to keep working with our police department. And we have a police chief and a command staff that's really fully committed to building trust with that with the community, so that the police are in a position to have that type of community support to do what we want them to do.
I got one last question for you, Mayor.
Sure.
Personal question.
Yeah.
I come from Chicago. In Chicago, where I was an adult man in a wheelchair, the idea of getting an accessible public transit system was out to lunch. The people in Chicago basically said, yeah, when we go to the moon, all of us together, maybe we'll get that done. Fellow in the wheelchair, you know, come back after a million tomorrows. It's not going to happen. I move out to the Pacific Northwest. I eventually make my way up here to Seattle. It seemed like it was one of the first things you guys did up here was put lifts on all the buses in Seattle. What Kool-Aid are you drinking?
So I don't know what Kool-Aid we're drinking, but this is a topic I'm passionate about. You mentioned lifts on the buses. Think of the curb cut in the street. Right, we built it for the disabled person. But you know who else uses it? The mom with the stroller, the kid on the skateboard, the kid on the bicycle. Everybody likes it. Hell, you're bringing a heavy load home with a hand truck, right? The delivery man with a hand truck. It turns out if you're really looking out to take care of those who have the greatest challenges, it helps everyone else out too. I'll give you another anecdote. We have a lot of students in our schools who are what you call English language learners. They don't speak English. They're learning English at the same time as they're learning social studies, math, all these other complicated topics. If you teach in a specialized way that reaches the English language learners, you have to explain things differently in multiple different ways so that somebody who doesn't speak English well can learn it. It turns out the English-speaking students learn better, too, when they're taught in that style. It's not just the English language learners who learn better. Everybody learns better. This is just such a metaphor to me for our entire society. When the lowliest person on the street feels like they're treated with dignity and respect by the police, by golly, everybody's going to feel better. Everyone's going to be treated better. When somebody can get around so that we can tap into their talents, everyone's going to do better. You know, when somebody who's coming from a broken home and has a hard time getting an education can get a job and succeed, like my dad did, by the way, everybody does better. So I'm very passionate about this. So maybe that's the Kool-Aid we're drinking here in Seattle.
We got you going.
That yeah,
you
sure did.
Mike McGinn, mayor of Seattle, thanks so much, here in the studios of KUOW.
And as you can tell, the famous rains of Seattle, Todd, affected my voice. We talked with Mayor McGinn on Wednesday before I got this famous frog in my throat from the rainy weather out here. Mike McGinn, though, really took me down memory lanes, remembering what it was like to be in Seattle in the early 80s. We want to thank the people at KUOW in Seattle for being so welcoming and warm and terrific this week as we've been broadcasting from Seattle. You know, a lot of bikes here in Seattle. It seems to me a lot of the young people gave up their cars a long time ago here in Seattle.
Yeah, they might have been ahead of the curve. And young people are giving up their bikes here in New York and also in Washington, D.C., where I live, John. And it's something that we've been asking our listeners about, Generation Y, people giving up their cars, driving less. People are writing and calling in from all over the Takeaway family. And our listener, Carmen from Ann Arbor, is one example, summed up most of the people who've been writing. And she posted to our Facebook page this way. 1, I hate driving. 2, it costs money. 3, I finally live in a city that has real public transit. And 4, it's bad for the environment. Well, that does pretty much sum it up.
Yeah.
Listener,
Ann Arbor is the Seattle of Michigan.
I'm going to decipher that one in my head and get back to you. And a listener from Fort Collins, Colorado, gave a reason that it's appropriate for his generation. He texted to say he doesn't drive, quote, because I'm a planeteer. John, how is transportation there in Seattle all these years later?
As the mayor suggested, I think there's a sense of diversity and inclusion in transportation, and you also have a kind of an entrepreneurial spirit in Seattle where people are trying many different ways of getting around. Bike culture here is very old and venerable and has been around and was well in evidence when I was here back in the early 80s.
And I think people there appreciate being at the front edge of this change in transportation for us back east. Well, tell us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. Post to the website at thetakeaway.org. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm John Hockenberry. Have a great weekend, folks. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.